All right, if you would, you can go ahead and turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to be talking about a good soldier. I guess in some ways that this could be almost seen as a recruitment sermon. We know we're all part of the Lord's army. God has a job for us to do. But not long ago, of course, knowing where I was raised, and I was definitely a red, white, and blue son of liberty, you name it, I was that way. Back in the days of the 60s, I was known as a hawk. I was definitely not a dove. I was just gung-ho all the time. But not long ago, I had a person who was a veteran and who had been on the battlefield come to me and share with me how he felt like we're just sort of over, aren't we sort of overdoing all this honor we give to vets? Well, you can imagine how I reacted to that. I mean, it was like, you've got to be kidding me. Having been through the Vietnam mess that we had, I just couldn't imagine. And so, and I do occasionally run across somebody like that. This was a little unusual because he was a veteran who'd been on the battlefield and all that. And so, but what I usually do when I have somebody like that, I'll go back to an illustration in my own personal life when I was out. When I was in high school, in my senior year, I enlisted in the Navy Reserves, okay, planning on going to Navy once I graduated. Mom and Dad were both in the Navy, and so that seemed like the only place for me to go. And so that's what I did. So when I graduated, I went into the Reserves, and not going to boot camp yet, but in doing that, I learned a little bit about the Navy. Then they gave me my uniform, okay? So I didn't go to boot camp like most everybody else did. They went there in civilian clothes while I went there in my uniform. Amen and hallelujah. I was proud of it. I was getting ready to be shipped out, going over to Chicago. The training center for Navy guys was at Great Lakes at that point in time. And so I got my uniform out. Everybody in the neighborhood, all these star-spangled banner guys that are there, man, they're giving me the gung-ho and all this kind of stuff like that. And I felt like I was really, you know, doing something very, very important. And so I put the uniform on, got on the airplane, and then I flew into Chicago. Now, this was during I graduated in 68. So it was in the summer of 68, and I was going there in August of the summer of 68. Woo, you talk about an eye-opening experience. I got on the plane there and, you know, kind of strutting my stuff, you know, wearing my uniform and all that. I polished everything up. My shoes were shined and everything. Well, some folks were, you know, hey. But then there were other people who just simply looked at me. Some looked at me and laughed. Some looked at me in scorn. And they just reacted in a way I just couldn't understand all that. I was pretty stupid. I didn't know what was going on in the world. I really didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it back then. So we were flying in there. We got to Chicago. Boy, all of a sudden I found out I was a very special person when I got there. There were people waiting for guys who got off the plane in uniforms, and they came up there, and we had these women that had flowers in their hair, and they had the tambourines, and they were all dressed in white, and they were saying things about me that I just couldn't understand. And fortunately, because of the way things were set up then, the Navy had all the guys who were coming in to boot camp, all right, and coming through there, because Great Lakes is just north of Chicago. Well, they were there to kind of get a hold of us and then kind of funnel us into a bus and get us out of the airport, which I was pretty glad of, okay? It was just so unusual. And so I got there. When I got to the base and I found out that the Democratic Convention was going on, which was an absolute zoo. The city of Chicago was absolutely turned upside down. There was all kinds of riots going on and different things like that. A lot of things I wasn't really familiar with. I guess in some ways, I guess you could say I was naive. Well, then one day, I was there, I think, for 2 weeks because I was in reserves and all that for boot camp. We were assigned to a duty. We had a number of sailors who had gone on shore leave, although they weren't on the ship, they were just stationed there, went into Chicago to see all the sights and sounds of Chicago. Wow, let me tell you something. Was that an eye-opening experience or what? I'm there, and they said, we got special duty, we need to get out there and take care of some fellows that are coming in and all kinds of situations. Well, I got out there, and boy, all of a sudden, I noticed that there were all these guys coming in on buses, on vans, and in emergency vehicles, okay. So I got over there, and it was so shocking to me, the thing I'll never forget as long as I live, they were all wearing their dress whites, okay, and that's this shiny white stuff they got on there. And on their shiny white whites was all this blood. And I'm like, what is going on? And what was going on was they got caught up in the mess down there. They were totally innocent, as far as I understood that. But there was all kinds of rioting and looting, and it was just, Chicago was out of control at that point in time during that convention. By the way, you know they're going to have that convention back there again this coming summer here, Democratic. I don't know why they're doing that. But nonetheless, it's kind of dumber than dumb, I guess. But nonetheless, that really left an impression on me. I'll be honest with you. I was just I wasn't the only one, somewhat disillusioned. I came from a red, white, and blue, God bless America type community and all that. And suddenly I found myself in a place that just was a complete opposite of that. We sat around, the sailors and I sat around there and wondered, well, I wonder if they're going to give those guys that came back from there, going to give them purple hearts, because, man, they've been out there. And one guy said, they can't do that. They've been beat up by their own people. They're not going to give them a purple heart. They're not on a battlefield, but it certainly did look like that. Well, nonetheless, it was made quite an impression on me. I never did go to Vietnam. I served the Lord and our country in Hawaii. Okay, I guess the Lord, after going through that, the Lord said, I want to give you a break. Okay, but that's where I went. And I was, you know, I didn't mind that duty at all. It was a blessed time. I really enjoyed that. But I went there, but during that time, I was around lots of veterans and all the craziness. And we had guys coming from Vietnam and going back to the States. We had guys from the States going over to Vietnam and all the turmoil and all the stuff. And we had all these people there that were anti-everything, it seemed like. It's interesting also, the guys that came back to the boot camp or to our training center there, they were being beat up by the peace people. I mean, it was just weird. It was just like the world had been turned upside down. I couldn't understand what was going on here. Nobody else could at first, okay? But we had all that going on there. Well, for me, the Navy life was, they tried to get me to re-up, and I thought, you know, nah, I don't think I'm going to do that. I still love America, and I love the Navy and all that, but I think I'm just going to go ahead and I'll be a reservist. I'll serve my country in that capacity for 6 years, and I'm going to just go ahead and get out, all right, and get back to normal life and get come back and marry Carol and get everything back to where it would be normal. Well, and we did. We did exactly that. Well, then the day came where my world was being challenged in so many different ways. Our family life was great. Our marriage was wonderful and all that. But I had just a lot of weight coming down on me and different ways in the world in which I lived in and all that. And so we began to search for an answer to all this crazy world that we lived in. And the world was pretty crazy. And somebody told me about, you know, how things are today and compared to other times. I'll tell you what, it's been crazy forever. I'm telling you what, that convention there, and I mean, all the, well, you read up on that convention. You want to find out what crazy is. That's crazy, what was taking place there. But nonetheless, we were looking for an answer to life's drama and the problems in life and finding peace and comfort and all that. And finally, we were over to the Methodist church. This guy told us, you're not going to find what you're looking for here. You need to go over to church at the open door. We went over here, and we found the Lord Jesus Christ. I found out, I didn't realize it, but I had gotten to say when I was 12 years old at a service when my mother trusted the Lord. But I had no assurance of salvation. I had no real foundation in all that. And then as a result, Carol was saved also at that point in time. And we began to attend here at Church the Open Door. What a blessing it was. But then the day came. When they did a memorial service here at Church the Open Door. And I thought, you know, all the stuff in my past, all the guys I'd been around, and I hung out with a lot of veterans. It was all settled in my life. But I was over there in a Baker, and They sang songs like you all sing today. Whew. I fell apart. I did. I started crying my eyes out, literally. And Carol looked at me and she said, and she has had a brother also with a lot of drama. He was a captain in the Marines, Forward Air Command in Vietnam, who saw a lot of combat and all that. And yet he got out, but he had a lot of that junk that comes with you. And man, I thought, you know, it was such a blessing to me. And I began to think about all the guys that I knew who needed to be here to be, needed to be seen as a hero. We just didn't talk about it. I mean, everybody else told us what we were, anything but a hero, okay? But I thought about those guys. I said, this is such a healing place. And I began to work on that, all right? Because I knew guys, kids that I went to school with and all that, who'd gone through all that drama and had that burden on them. And I told them, I said, you don't really realize what that might have done to you in some way, but you need to come there. You need to come there and hear the message. And then you need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as a result of that, all right, I came here, and I, first of all, that service that Dr. Smith preached during that time, it was about a good soldier, okay? It was about a soldier that he was teaching us from in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. And we looked at the verses, the first four verses there, where it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast done, heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who are able to teach others also. Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier," all right, "of Jesus Christ." In verse 4, it says, "No man that warreth," a lot of military stuff going on here, a lot of stuff that I'm familiar with. The Bible's talking about that. I didn't know the Bible talked like that, okay? All right, "No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And he went on and told us here several things. First of all, he said, you know what? When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are now in the Lord's army, and you are a soldier. Amen. Really? And it's a good thing? I mean, it's not bad to be a soldier. I mean, most churches that I heard of back in those days were telling us how bad we were to be a soldier. You know, we were out doing evil things and all that kind of stuff. They were all about love and peace and all that. But he said, that's what he told me. He said, yep, all right, you need to be a soldier. And I thought about, he also mentioned this. There's several things he brought out there. He did the one, I mentioned the one that is related to the Lincoln, where it's in his address to the nation after the war and battle in Gettysburg. And it says there, rather, it's for us to be dedicated to the great task remaining before us. And he was talking about the task that remains before us back when I first came here 41 years ago as Christians, okay? But he was tying it all together, all right, that from these honored dead, we will take increased devotion, all right, to the cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, all right? And he brought out the idea of dedication, dedicating yourself to something that's important, something bigger than you. And he said, now I want you to know, you probably didn't fully realize it, but when you trusted Christ as Savior, that's what you were doing. You were joining his army, and you were dedicating yourself, committing yourself to serve him and take the banner of the cross to the uttermost parts of the world. He also used a phrase, and we hear it all the time. Brian uses it quite often. Pastor Brian does. All right, America will be the land of the free only as long as it remains the home of the brave. And back in those days, the world was turning upside down big time. I mean, there was all kinds of turmoil. Christianity was finally waking up and becoming alive in the sense of going out, witnessing, and knocking on doors and stuff like that. It was something that was kind of new in many ways. But he told us, he said, we need to be brave Christians. We need to be brave men and women. And the way we can do that is by being strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we build our strength up. You know, it says that we have a perfect picture of a, and well, this is what he said. The picture of a brave man is seen in Timothy, all right? He enlisted into the service, all right? And we see that in Acts chapter 16, verse 3, where it says there, the portion of the verse, it says, him would Paul have to go forth with, go forth with him. And he's talking about Timothy here. And that portion there where it says go forth literally means, all right, he wanted to take Timothy to the field as a soldier. And that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. All right, a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, you know, he said, that's what God wants to do, and that's what God had in mind. And so we see here, he enlisted. And as I wrote down here, thinking about this thing, every Christian, all right, is already a soldier in God's army. It's just that some, and this is so true, okay, in all armies, it's just that some are loyal and some are not. They're not. We know what to do, okay? Some are loyal and some are not, all right? But Jesus Christ is known as a captain in the Bible, and he's the captain of our salvation. He's the captain of the Lord's army, and we must take our orders from him. Amen. We don't always like them. In the military, orders were always obeyed regardless, because it's just, well, like Donald Graff would say, okay, there's nothing more like God Almighty than a general on the battlefield. And why is that, you say? Because a general orders, and his orders sometimes can cause, take the life of thousands of men. All right, and so in some ways, they're kind of, it seems to be that way, although we know they're not, okay? They're just mere men, all right, and all that goes along with that. But nonetheless, God said, you're in my army. And I think when you think about it, just as our nation has been known for years as being a nation that goes, that goes around the world freeing people of tyranny. Now, the neighborhood I was raised in, all the veterans in there from the Second World War, that's exact. They were there, and they were proud of that. They were glad of that. It made them feel special. It made them realize that we did something important. Our lives really matter. We were the ones that were out there, so to speak, having the world free once again. Taking these nations away from all the tyranny of, well, these nations that wanted to take everything over. And they had that, all right? And so therefore, all the drama they went through and all the heartaches they went through and everything along with that, it had purpose, it had meaning. People were complimenting them on that. They were, you know, they wore their banners, they wore their uniform proudly, and, you know, it was what they did, all right? And that's the way it should be. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But yes, there was a time we didn't exactly do that here in our nation, okay? We didn't see our soldiers and sailors and all the rest of them exactly that way. Now, if you say, well, I didn't say that. I wasn't anti anything. I didn't ever said anything derogatory in such a way as that. Yeah, but you didn't, but a bunch of folks did, all right? It was a political mess. And so because of that, there were a lot of folks, fellows in the military, that were affected by that. You didn't know you were affected by it, but you were affected by it. All right, it came upon it. But we see here, again, looking at what a good soldier is, we see in that verse there, it talks about a person, first of all, he's somebody that's strong in the grace of God. A verse I like that goes along with that is over in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, where it says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Strong in grace, we go in the battlefield. God is there with me. I don't have to worry about this thing. There's nothing that no battlefield, no anywhere I can go where I will ever be separated by the loving Father, my loving Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're always going to be with me so I can be strong in that grace. I don't deserve it, but it's a blessing I have from God. Dear friend, we are in troubling times right now. God's calling his soldiers back up again. We're looking for some retreads, friend. We fought a battle back in the good old days, back when I first came to church, Open Door. This world was a mess, and there's no doubt about that. It was a mess, and I saw that. I was so glad. And when I came back to Open Door, I enlisted in the Navy back in 1968. I was in high school when I did it, okay? I re-enlisted once again back 41 years ago here at Church Open Door when I got into the Lord's Army. I was already in it. Didn't know it. There were so many things I didn't know back then. But I was already in it. And I thought, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I'm going to be a part of God's liberating army. And boy, do I know a lot of guys that were in the service with me that I know need to be liberated. They're broke down. They're heartbroken. All right. I knew a number of them that got into drugs and all the stuff that goes along with that. I couldn't always understand it, but I'll tell you what, I began to understand that a little better, why they did these things, when I came to Open Door and saw how I reacted to a patriotic, wave the flag, God bless America service. I mean, it just, it went right there. And I thought, I'm beginning to understand. I don't have it as bad as they do. I didn't go through what they went through. But God, now I'm seeing why they've done the things they've done. Why they're like that. And I thought, boy, Lord, I'm so glad that I've learned these things. Now I want to be a part of your army. It says you're also good soldiers, able to teach others also. The verse I got a hold of there was Romans chapter 1, verse 16, where it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Now, I was never ashamed of my Navy uniform, ever, even though they wanted me to kind of intimidate me that way. But I tell you what, I was never ashamed when I got saved. And I heard the gospel, and I was taught, I was like, I'm not ashamed of that. I want everybody to know about it. I can't wear a uniform to tell everybody I'm saved. Would have been nice to be able to do that. I wore crosses and I had t-shirts and all that kind of stuff to go along with that. But nonetheless, I want people to know. I want to be a good soldier. I want to be a good soldier, Father. And then we see also, it says here, enduring hardness. And of course, that idea there is kind of giving up pleasures, certain things we don't, you know, that we hold near and treasure in these ways here. But then again, also, you know, I found out I was a soldier and I wanted to be a good soldier, but then I found out that we're to be in a fight. We're fighting soldiers. And it says over here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, all right, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of evil, or of darkness in this present world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We have a battle here, dear friend. But the banner over us as Christian is a banner of love. All right? Not to go in there and pick fights and get in arguments with people. God said, that's not what I want you to do. I want you to go there and show compassion. I want you to show real care about them. You know what it's like, Rick, to be on the outside of this thing here. And you know what you went through. So what I want you to do is go to them and offer them comfort. The verse I kind of take along with that, and one that really kind of became a real important verse to me, is a verse that I kind of associate with being in a liberation army. And it's over here in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Okay, hang on. And that verse says there, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And I remember that day. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And there's a lot of poor out there, poor in a lot of different ways. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Whew. I'll tell you what, this world is loaded with that right now. Hearts that are broken. It's just so sad. all right, to preach deliverance to the captives, and many of our people today are held captive in all kinds of bondage out there right now with drugs and alcohol and whatever else, and recovering of sight to the blind. And I was as blind as could be for so many years. I couldn't believe it. I wish I'd, I tried to reenlist in the military when 9/11 hit, because I thought, Lord, all that time I spent in the military, and I was a Christian, and I was worthless. So, Father, please, you know, maybe we can work it out. And I went and tried to reenlist, but they told me I was too old, too and fossilized. I've been hearing that ever since, but all right, but at any rate. So, at any rate, but then it says here, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, those that are hurt. And this world is full of hurt people. I want to close with this, but I have a good friend of mine that I've known since the seventh grade, and he and I were kind of raised the same way. We were flag-waving Americans. We loved it. He was gung-ho as they could be. He told me, he said, I'm going to join up just like I did. He went in the Army. I don't know why, but he did. I guess I'm glad he did. But he wanted to get there. He wanted to be where the action was. That's exactly right. And so knowing that, he went ahead and began to build his body up. Boy, I tell you, in high school, he was as strong as a horse. I mean, he was like an ox. And I told him, I said, what are you doing that for? He said, I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to be a soldier. I'm going to be a good soldier, and I'm going to do my job. I said, okay. And then he started working on his shooting. He was really into guns and stuff like that anyhow. So he started working on that. Well, I'll tell you what, when the time came and graduation hit, he ran out the door. He was down at the recruiting station. He was signing up, and he said, I don't want to do anything. I want to go to Vietnam, and that's all I want to do. All right. A great man, a loving person. I knew him. We were friends. I think I saw him in a car one time. He went down there and did that, and I went, of course, well, you know, I went in the Navy. Well, I didn't see him for a while. He was over in Vietnam. He did two tours of duty over Vietnam. He was in combat all the time. He was in a helicopter that would land down in these jungles. Dylan knows all about that. He'd land there. You didn't even know, you know what I'm talking about. He would land there, and he'd get in there, and he had a machine gun, and he just absolutely leveled everything in sight. Unbelievable. So his brother was a friend of mine, and I kept in touch with him through his brother. And so he did the second tour over there, Purple Heart, all kinds of medals, and you name it, stuff like that. And he came home. And his brother came to me. He said, I got to tell you what happened. I said, what happened? He said, my brother came home. I said, okay, yeah, good. Amen. Got him out of that place. Thank the Lord he came out of there alive. He said, yeah, but you won't believe this. I said, what? He said he came back on an airplane right out of Nam, landed in a deserted field above L.A. They put him out of the plane and told him, I don't know how you're going to get home, but we're taking you this far. You have to figure your own way to get back home again. I couldn't believe it. And then I said, well, where is he? He said he's hitchhiking across the United States. Now, the family would have sent him money. It wasn't like he just, you know, I'd have sent him money. But he just said, you know, I got to get all this behind me. I'm just going to walk across America. I'm going to walk across America and see America the way it is. Well, he did that. And he became a bricklayer, and I knew him all during that time. But as it happened with a lot of fellows in his situation there, he turned to drugs and he got into alcohol and all the things that I was able to unload here at Church Open Door at that memorial service, that burden. He didn't have an opportunity to do that. So he carried that stuff with him, and I would talk to him. They came when his health began to fail big time, and this has not been that long ago. And I went to went to see him. I got the word what was going on. And I sat there with him, and I thought, thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. Because I'm still in the liberating army of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to have an opportunity to liberate him from the bondage he's been in all these many years. And we sat down. I went over the gospel with him. He shared some of the horror in his life. And I keep telling these guys, I don't want to know about all that stuff. I got enough evil in my own heart without having to hear all the things. And you know what? He was in war. And he did things, okay? But the time came when he said to me, and he resisted the gospel a number of times. He said, you know what? I'm ready to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. And I'm not kidding you. I don't think he was possessed. I don't think anything like that. But I'm telling you, the quivering and the shaking and the emotion that was there was weird. It was something I had not seen before. But he prayed and asked Jesus to save him. And he said, you sure he really loves me? He said, you just don't know what I've done, Rick. I said, look, it doesn't matter. All right, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he has paid for every sin. And I'll tell you what, Brian, I'm going to continue to come here until you get it nailed down completely. And believe me, God has forgiven you, and you now have a home in heaven. He was dying from Agent Orange. He was dying from a life of abuse. And I'll be honest with you, now we're honoring the dead who died in combat. But I can tell you this. There's a lot of guys, and I'm not just talking about Vietnam, that a part of them died over there. It did. The innocence, all that stuff. Part of them died there. And I thank God that we have a church that honors men and women like that. I thank God for what Church the Open Door did for me. I was already saved, but I had no idea what was going on in my head, all right? And I thank God that at that point I realized God wants me to be a good soldier. And in order to do that, I need to be doing what Timothy did. And I need to be out there in a liberating army. Dear friend, America is in trouble today. What we need right now are brave soldiers of the cross. Amen. Not running and hiding. I'm so tired of hearing, I'm going to just pack up and leave and go out in the mountains somewhere and hide. That is not what we need to do. I wanted to do that when I came out of the service. It was all about that. I told Carol, I said, I'm going to stay out here in California, and I didn't know what was going to happen there. Well, she told me, she said, well, I want you to come back here. So as soon as she told me that, I came right back here, okay? I knew a good thing when I had it, okay? There ain't no doubt about that. And she's been precious ever since then. But I tell you, that's what we do. We Christians, we need to be brave. We need to be stand up. We need to take that gospel out. We need to have a testimony. We do have a testimony. This church is known. Not long ago, just recently, I talked to a Christian that's been born again through the ministries of Church the Open Door, decided that we're too strict, we're too whatever. I want to get out there and get back in my old lifestyle a little bit, maybe a little drinking, a little that, the other thing. All right, got out there. And now that this person is going through a trauma, I need to get back in a church that teaches the Bible. I need help. The joke-telling preacher, the singing, it doesn't help me at all. I need the eternal Word of God, a quick and powerful Word of God. And I just heard that from somebody yesterday. We know where to go, don't we? But dear friends, we have a job to do, and that job is to be good soldiers. And everyone in this room has trusted Christ as Savior. We are a soldier in the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to be retreading ourselves. You know what retreading is, right? You got a bald tire, no good, so you go ahead and put a new tread on it. It's not a good tire, it's not a perfect tire, it's a kind of a wore out tire, and be careful what you do with it, but nonetheless, it's a tire that works. Well, I know I'm a retread, and no doubt about that, all right? But I'm still a retread, and I want the Lord to use me. And I'll tell you what, you couldn't be in a better church to do that. You don't have, just, where do you look? Where do I go? You're right here, bud. All right, it's right here. Now you ask the Lord and you pray him today as we close the service, God, what would you have me to do? All right, I want to be brave. I want to stand up for you. I want to be a good soldier, okay, strong in the grace. That's all it takes. Strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, grounded in the Word of God. All right, that's all it takes to be a brave and strong soldier. Of course, you could be here today and you're saying, Pastor Rick, you know, you're talking about that fellow who you led to the Lord just recently and how, well, basically, he was a person that everything in this verse pretty much describes him. All right, he was a person that was brokenhearted. He was a person that was being held captive by addictions and things like that. All right. He was a person that was blinded by the lies of this world. All right. And he was a person that was greatly and deeply bruised. Excuse me. All right. Hurt deeply. A deep bruise. Maybe you're here like that. You say, well, that's me, Pastor Rick. That's why I'm here this morning. Well, if you're here this morning, dear friend, it's just that simple. Just as simple. Jesus Christ wants to save you. He wants to liberate you from all the things that are holding you in bondage, keeping you from having a happy day, keeping you from being able to smile because the sun's out. Every day is tainted by something in your past that's torturing you relentlessly. And you're doing everything you can to try to escape that thing with the drugs, everything you can think of it. Dull the pain. Well, dear friend, you're here today. You came to the right place. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. You can take care of that problem. The Bible says the wage of sin is death. All right. That word death means going to a place called hell. And some people tell me quite often, I'm living in hell here on earth. Well, you're not really, dear friend. Hell is nowhere near what you might be going through here right now in this crazy world we're living in at this moment here. But nonetheless, the wage of sin is death. All right, death and hell, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God said, I've got a gift, and that gift was paid for you. Your sins were laid. All the things you've ever done that make you feel like you can't be saved, all those things were laid on my son on the cross of Calvary. God said, I put him there because I know everything. And when I put him there, then I had the perfect target to pour my righteous, angry wrath that you deserve for your sins. I have a target now that I can pour that wrath on. And it's my own loving, caring, perfect son. But the reason is because now he's covered in our mess, our filth. He's covered in that. And so because that was the choice, God said, now I'm going to punish him. And we know what happened, all right, at Easter on the cross of Calvary. He was bruised and beaten so badly. He didn't even look like a man. That verse I just read to you in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, could almost describe him. He had all the horror, all the awful thoughts, everything was put on him. And yet God said, I've done that for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in his Son and believes that his Son died and paid your sins, you can have everlasting life. If you just simply willing to say, yes, Jesus, I'm going to trust you as my Savior. Now, if you're like that today, you can make a commitment. We're going to go ahead and bow our heads for a moment. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor Rick, I've never done that. I want to get saved. I want to have my sins forgiven. Well, dear friend, if that's you and you want to have that happen, you want to trust Christ, you want to be liberated from your life of sin and all the horror that you've had in your life for whatever reason, well, all you have to do that is receive him. And that is just simply praying and saying, yes, Jesus, I want to trust you as Savior. Now, if you're here today and you want to do that, well, you pray and do that. You pray and talking to God. But if I can lead you in a prayer, if you believe it from your heart, and that prayer will work as far as that's concerned, where you ask God to do that. But I'm speaking, but you need to say that yourself in your heart. And God said, I'll save you where you sit right now. If you're here today and you want to trust Christ as Savior, you pray this prayer with me, okay? You pray to yourself as I pray out loud. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I deserve to pay my own sin debt. But I do believe, Jesus, that you died for me and paid the debt I owe for my sins. And today, Jesus, the best I know how, I'm trusting you and you only as my Savior. While our heads are bowed, no one looking around but myself, but if you've done that, if you asked Jesus to do that, I would like to know that so I can pray for you, but I can't know it unless you be willing right now to say, raise your hand and indicate it. Yes, I asked Jesus to save me today in this service. Is there anybody like that? Anybody at all? I see that hand. God bless you, brother. Anybody else made a decision like that, a most important decision you'll ever make in your life and the most liberating one you could ever make? All right, let's pray. Father, again, we just thank you, Lord, so much for your love. I pray, Lord, that you'll just continue to work in our life. We all in this church right now, and I know everybody here, Father, I know them all. And we all want to be good soldiers for you, Lord. We want to serve you. And we're realizing there is a battle on. There is a fight that we need to be involved in. And we have the opportunity to be in that fight, to serve you, Lord, to show the love of Christ to this crazy world we live in right now. So, Father, please help us with that. And maybe there's somebody here tonight, this morning, Lord, that needs to further commit themselves and ask you to help them to be that soldier, Lord, that good soldier, to make a difference. We just pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.